Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Final hour is here, and what an afternoon it has been. We're not done yet. We still have plenty of time for your phone calls, more guests to come. Let's check in with some phone callers here, and Steven is in Arizona. Hello, Steven.
How you doing, Paul?
Hey there. Thank you.
Sounds like you're having a good day today.
Well, it's been entertaining. I'll say that.
Well, let me get back to what Mr. Fowler brought up earlier today that y'all was talking about. The question, I believe, was would the NIL and the portal stuff like this affect the fans?
Right.
It affects me, and I believe it affects other people because I used to watch college football because in the old days, a college player, a running back, would, if he needed 5 yards, he would get six. If they needed a catch for a first down across the middle, he'd go across the middle and not worry about getting hit. And then the pros, after they get to the pros and make the money, 5 yards to get a first down, they may step out 3 yards short to keep from getting hurt. And I think that's the effect it's going to have on college football. And the portal situation, if a player transfers from one school to the other, I don't know if it is or not, but I think they should have to pay the losing college the money for the scholarship that got them in the college to start with.
Well, that's an interesting concept. Hey, thank you. I appreciate your call very, very much. David is up next. Hello, David.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I've got to take issue with Coach Fisher. I feel like when I was outside listening to his interview or listening to his press conference, I got a different take than when I came inside and I saw his body language. His eyes, just the way he looks around like he's waiting for someone to give him approval for what he's saying. He just comes across. I'm a former high school football coach, and I feel like I was looking at an adolescent teenager who was deflecting everything that was being brought up on him towards someone else. My next point is he kept bringing up that he was, you know, anybody that used to coach with Coach Saban could sort of air out the dirty laundry. Well, didn't Mr. Fisher used to coach there? Why can he not bring out the dirty laundry? And I'll hang up and listen to your comments, please.
Yeah, he said this in February. If you go back and remember, he said, you know, he warned Saban about this, but we all interpreted that as a shot at Kiffin. There wasn't a shot at Kiffin. But he, you know, remember, Jimbo Fisher hasn't worked with Nick Saban since 2004. After Saban went to Miami, Kiffin, I think Jimbo remained at LSU briefly under Les Miles. I'm really struggling to remember. I think that's correct. George is up next. George, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Yes, Paul. Don't you think Jimbo Fisher, it's just my question, don't you think he brought a lot of this on earlier this year on your show when he alluded to that they had been buying players for forever at Florida State? I mean, he didn't outright say it, but, you know, I'm just old Common Joe, and I took it that that's what he was saying.
Well, I specifically remember him saying, you know, what everybody's upset about, what's going on now is legal, but we've been doing it for a long time.
Yes. Yes, and that's why I said he alluded to it like it was an ongoing thing. So don't you think this might be a reason everybody's kind of looking at because they had a good recruiting year? I mean,
Well, yeah. Listen, they just didn't have a good recruiting year. They had
they had a great one.
They obliterated every imaginable record, which naturally brings scrutiny. But it's also unfair to A&M to act like this program has not been ascending for some time. I mean, they are.
Yeah.
They have to finish the job. And one thing about A&M that if they don't do it, then Jimbo Fisher won't be as beloved by his athletic director and his fan base. But thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Peyton in Nashville. Hey, Peyton.
Paul, what on earth is going on down there in Turd Town?
It's a good question.
I honestly think that in a year or two, Saban's going to retire because his method just doesn't work anymore. I mean, he can't do his blueprint recruiting formula no longer works, and everybody else is on board. He's been figured out. He's squealing like a pig. What do you think?
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, it's not like he went 8-4 last year and didn't go to a bowl game because he didn't have enough players. Saban played for the national championship after winning the SEC. I hardly call that squealing like a pig.
Oh, no. He's squealing and his hair's on fire. Look, here's the deal. He's not even that good.
He is starting to resemble Ben Beatty a little bit. I agree with you on that.
Look, he's not that good of a game day coach. He got outcoached by Gus Malzahn multiple times, and Gus Malzahn's horrible. So as soon as this recruiting comes to an end and Alabama can't keep pace with Texas,
the guy made a call in a national championship game for an onside kick that won him a title. I wouldn't say he's not a good he changed quarterbacks in another national championship game that won him another title. So I don't know about that game day coach stuff. But anyway, everybody's entitled to express themselves. Ryan is in College Station, Texas. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Ryan, thank you. We're doing great.
Well, I wanted to give a suggestion to Legend over there, and I'm not real sure because I don't have his direct line, but I was thinking about an NIL sponsorship for him. If he could get with Kleenex to dry up all those tears, that would probably help him out monetarily and get him out of the trailer house that he probably lives in that's destined to be blown away. So just let him know that I'm going to reach out to Kleenex and see if we can get him something to help him out. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you very, very much. Appreciate it. Mark is in Virginia. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Hey, look, man, I think everybody's missing the boat on this thing. I think Saban is already preparing for October 8th, and he's already got into the feelings of Jimbo, which is going to lead Jimbo to get his players into their feelings. And on October 8th, Alabama's going to run them out of town.
Yeah, Mark, I don't really think Nick Saban even looks at that game right now. To me, he was simply talking about the state of college football right now. And I think he went someplace he didn't intend to go, but he went there.
Yeah, I understand that too, but I mean, we've already figured this NIL thing out already, and that we knew that players were going to be offered money to go to colleges. This is not something that's just coming out of the blue. And also another thing, hasn't this Jackson State story already been reported and cycled through already?
I agree. My impression is that nothing ever came out of that story.
Of that story, correct.
Yeah, I think Deion Sanders is owed a major apology today. That was, of all the things that Saban said, to me, that's where he went over a line. I know he offered a half-hearted apology late today, but it's one of those, if I offended anyone, I'm sorry, which are pretty meaningless apologies. Saban's not the best when it comes to apologies. Scotty is in Texas, and you are on the air. Hello, Scotty.
Hi, Paul. I have never watched your show, and I apologize for that, but I am sitting here working, and my husband is watching the show, and I listened to that gentleman, the Legend, I think his name was.
Yes.
Was he to the point of inciting a fight between the two schools, between A&M's coach, fans, football players, alumni? I mean, is that even – I mean, he ranted forever and ever. I thought surely somebody's going to shut him down. But is that even Did the guy go to school there at Alabama?
No, he did not.
I didn't think so.
Let me put it this way. During his collegiate time, he was previously occupied. Anyway, I appreciate you joining us today, though. We're always glad to have new listeners. Bubba is in North Carolina. Hello, Bubba.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, buddy?
Bub. Hey, Bub.
Wild day. Listen. Hey, Jimbo not only knows that Nick's got skeletons in his closet, he knows exactly what they are. He's threatened this twice already. The only problem Jimbo's got, if he brings Nick's skeletons to the forefront, then his will get exposed along with many others that are still in the college football world. It's kind of like honor among thieves, but Jimbo's threatened this twice. And he's taking this personal, and Nick's trying to just keep it as rhetoric. Jimbo's not.
There's nothing personal about what Nick Saban said. We're going to talk to somebody who's written a book on Nick Saban. It will be out shortly. He also covers him on a daily basis from a perch in Birmingham. John Talty joins us next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Busy afternoon, and we did not want to let this segment end without talking to John Talty, the senior sports editor of AL.com. He also has a book coming out shortly, The Leadership Secrets of Nick Saban. He's also on a plane right now, so it may sound a little bit squirrely, so we'll make the best out of it with John Talty joining us from the middle seat. John, thank you. Let's get your quick reaction to the last 20 hours or so since last night in Birmingham.
Well, Paul, it sounds like Jimbo's not going to be buying my book. That seems to be pretty clear based on some of the things that he was saying today, not the biggest fan of Nick Saban as a leader. So I think it's been a pretty remarkable and in some ways unprecedented last 24 hours from Nick Saban just letting it rip in Birmingham and saying the things that he did very candidly to what might be one of the most bizarre and wild press conferences I've ever seen in Jimbo Fisher earlier today. And it seems to just be going on and on. So it seems like it's calmed down the last few hours. Nick Saban had an opportunity to pour some more gasoline on it if he wanted to, decided not to do that, but still a pretty remarkable 24 hours, as I'm sure you and your callers have been loving today.
Yeah, John, I mean, let's move Saban aside for a second. He said what Nick Saban usually says in moments like this. He tries to tone it down, neutralize it, not personalize it. But for someone of Jimbo Fisher's status and standing to say what he did, there is no precedent for it. I've covered the sport forever and have never seen anything quite like it. So let's get beneath all this. I mean, you've just spent 2 years writing a book on Nick Saban. Is there anything in his past, anything that you've uncovered that correlates to what Jimbo Fisher was alluding to today in relation to Saban's entire coaching career?
Yeah, I'd love to see some specifics behind it because it kind of gets to, you know, what I think we're seeing happening a lot right now, Paul, whether it's tampering allegations, whether it's the NIL stuff. People love to kind of hint at things and not go all the way. And I think, and now, you know, Nick Saban today is trying to back away from some of the things he said. But to give Saban some credit, last night he straight up named who he thought was doing things maybe that are against how he believes, whether it's Texas A&M, Miami, Jackson State. Jimbo kept wanting to get right up to that line and almost wink at you, like, I know things, but then never actually said anything. And so I'd be curious to hear what he actually had to say. Clearly he doesn't want to go there at this point. I mean, I've talked to multiple people that were on staff with Jimbo and Nick at LSU. I mean, I feel like there was a pretty good working relationship there. I mean, I think the thing that maybe people are realizing today that they didn't know. I mean, Jimbo and Nick are not super close. They had a good working relationship at the time. There was some conflict along the way, but you know, anything that Jimbo seems to be alleging now that he might have known about happening at LSU, you know, presumably he would have had some part in it or have known about it. And so it rings a little hollow to me to try to bring that up in 2022, things that may or may not have happened all the way back in, you know, 2000, 2001.
With John Talty talking about the events since last night, John, the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference, Greg Sankey, came out with a statement this afternoon. He reprimanded both coaches, whatever that means. He is thrown into this, whether he wants to be or not. It is the role of the SEC commissioner to try to navigate through these treacherous waters. We believe that he talked to the coaches after the Kiffin Jimbo Fisher episode in February. Where does the commissioner fit into all of this?
Well, I think what you've seen a lot of today from different people is it compares him back to his predecessor, Mike Five. And that's something that is, anytime I think Greg does anything big, good or bad, he is still going to get compared back to Mike Five. And I think a thing that you saw publicly, and certainly things that, you know, I was hearing people were texting me about this, I'm sure you probably heard from people about it as well, was that Mike Sly never would have allowed this kind of thing to play out as publicly as it has. And to your point, it already spilled out in February. You know, as you said, there was, you know, the belief that there was a talking to of some of those coaches who, this is not how we do things. And yet here we are in May, and it's even worse and way more intense and way more personal. And so that is a reflection on the commissioner, whether fair or not, especially in relation to what Mike Slive would have done. And I think, as we've all talked about and as all the buzz is kind of leading up to the next couple of weeks, it's going to be a really fascinating meeting in Destin in a couple of weeks, because I would imagine after the way this played out today, Sankey is going to want to send a message to his head coaches that this is not how we do things. But the other factor is, Paul, is that the game has changed. I mean, these guys are titans of the sport. Nick Saban's one of the most famous people in America. It's harder to control a person like that than maybe it might have been in the early 2000s when Mike Slive took over the SEC.
Yeah, and I don't think Nick Saban is the issue here, John. And I know you agree with me. He's always been a top-down guy. You know all the people he's worked for, and I've been told, and you just got through with the book, that Saban appreciates authority. He is very disciplined. But Jimbo Fisher is another story. You know, if Sankey talked to him in February, obviously Jimbo Fisher didn't care, and what he did today, and he had the backing of his athletic director. I want to ask you about that. You covered Ross Bjork during your Mississippi days. And I know Sankey followed suit, but for the athletic director at a school to essentially call on the commissioner to reprimand another coach who has also violated that same bylaw right down the hall from him. Can you put that into perspective?
I mean, Texas A&M at this point is just a renegade of the SEC. Now, we look back to, you know, I don't want to say definitively that I know who somebody's source or wasn't, but I think it's widely believed Texas A&M played a role in the leak of the Texas and Oklahoma news coming out. They were raging behind the scenes about it. There's that whole vibe, and it starts with, you know, from the top, and Ross Bjork certainly fits into it, of liking to say things pretty strong publicly. So it doesn't surprise me that Jimbo had the backing of Ross Bjork. I would assume that Ross Bjork had to have given his stamp of approval to allow that wild press conference to take effect. And what I have thought about today is that this feels familiar, because I remember at Ole Miss when Ross Bjork had Hugh Freeze's back up until the very minute it was no longer convenient. And then at that point, you know, he kind of turned his back on him and was able to parlay Ole Miss into the Texas A&M job. So he does have some experience in this world of having to defend his athletic department against cheating allegations. And what we saw at Ole Miss and what we're seeing again at Texas A&M is that he likes to come out firing strong. He's not going to try to play below the radar or anything like that. He is going to come out strong. And both Jimbo and Ross definitely have had some very strong comments today. And on the flip side, at Alabama, you're not seeing anything else really come out. I mean, Saban definitely tampered it down. You're not seeing Greg Byrne pour any more gasoline onto the fire. They're clearly taking a different tack than what Texas A&M is doing today.
John Talty, we appreciate it. And I have a strange feeling, John, all the people around you on the plane appreciated getting your expertise free of charge for the price of a ticket to fly wherever you are. Hey, thank you, John. We'll see you soon.
Thanks. I'm sure they're very confused by what's happening here, Paul.
John Talty, we will see him in Destin. And this may be the first of all, we have not had the SEC meetings in Destin in 3 years. It was already anticipated. It's moving toward DEFCON 1, or it will by Memorial Day. We'll take a short break. We'll get to your phone calls right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And hey, we're back. 30 minutes remaining. Let's try to get as many calls in as possible. Steve is in Connecticut. Hello, Steve.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Listen, I had a question based on your history and your unique perspective on Coach Saban. I've been involved in college football for a long time, and Coach Saban is starting to remind me of Coach Bobby Knight. Somebody at the top of the profession, clearly in a Mount Rushmore of coaches, and all of a sudden they've been revered for so long and in such an enclosed environment, sometimes they lose perspective. And I wanted to ask your opinion if you saw any similarities between Coach Saban and Coach Knight.
I would agree that their greatness is unparalleled. I think you're talking about in Bob Knight, one of the best basketball coaches of all time. But I always felt in Bob Knight's case that the self-destructive nature began to affect him very early, not early, but certainly in the midpoint of his career. And I think it did him a lot of damage. I don't see any evidence of that with Nick Saban at the age of 70. Does he bully assistants? Yes. Does he bully the media? Of course. Is it all for the greater good of success? You can argue it is. But I think there are some similarities. But I would certainly I don't see the self-destructive nature in Saban that I did in Bob Knight.
Okay, I appreciate that. But you know, it's interesting that we're talking about SEC football in May. And hopefully Commissioner Sankey likes the good part of that and they can get their house in order so we can come up to a good season coming up.
Let's hope. Thank you very, very much. Mark is up next in Virginia. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Paul. Fascinating day for you today. Sorry
at the
beginning. Looked like you've been up all night. Hey, I've been following this for a long time, did a little research online. Heard some Nick Saban comments last year. So my thought is that he made the assertions about A&M, and I'm not a fan of either team, by the way. And I've heard the discussion about, what did he mean, why did he say it. But I've not heard anybody discuss the fact that last year I thought I heard Nick Saban say that Alabama or the collectives, I'm not sure who, paid Bryce Young $800,000 for his
what,
name.
What Saban said was that Bryce Young got an independent NIL deal, had nothing to do with the collective at all. He got the deal last July before these collectives began.
Okay, so obviously that avenue is being explored by someone, somebody, something in Alabama. A&M did something, don't know what. Don't even know if they paid anybody. But when you listen to his news conference, I know that's been kind of the debate today, they're both smart gentlemen. They're both disciples of their school. But, you know, as an independent observer, to me, it was almost as if Coach Saban was indicting Jimbo Fisher for the way that they used the NIL. So I'll leave it at that. Great show.
No, I think you're right about that. Hey, thank you very much for the call. A lot of allegations back and forth. Let's get to our next caller's opinion, heading to Red Bay, Alabama.
Road tie, road fall, fine, Mom. And you know what? I've listened to the show today, and I've got a few thoughts on this right here. For one thing, everybody's blowing it way out of proportion. And Jimbo Fisher, you know, he needs to get a dirty, I mean, straight out of the chicken's butt and suck on it, and somebody slap the crap out of him, Paul. And that little Matt in San Antonio called it, that said that Saban's cried like a little girl. Hey, he's the one that sounds like a little girl cry. And when they come to Tuscaloosa, we're going to stomp their butt. But I don't blame anything Nick Saban said, because, you know, it's something everybody's got to deal with. He's just one that's got the kahunas to say something about it. That's all it is. And Texas A&M, they bought every player they got. It's true. And Saban didn't say they were cheating. What he said was the truth. And everybody knows. I mean, you look at four games, five if you play, if you don't chicken out of the bowl game. And so what he said is true. But nobody, you know, if you sign all these, like, 7 5-star players, I mean, who's going to go to a team like that? I mean, unless you're getting paid. But like I said, Saban didn't say that there was anything wrong with it. He was just putting the fact out
there.
Well,
but
A&M got the drop on it. But you know what? We're going to come back.
In the parlance of college football, when you say they bought every player, you don't need to look that up in a dictionary. Hey, thank you for the call. Do appreciate it. Let's talk to Susan next in Houston. Hello, Susan.
Hi, Paul. Thank you for taking my call. I watch your show from time to time and find it most enjoyable.
Thank you.
I think that everybody needs to maybe take a step back here and take a deep breath and recognize who Saban was speaking to. He was addressing a room full of Alabama boosters. And to me, he was saying, look, guys, you're getting out-boosted by a group at Texas A&M, and that's why we were only second in recruiting. Saban last year made reference to the NIL for his incoming young quarterback. Don't you think that was free advertisement for another possibility at Alabama?
Yeah, you know, I think you're right about that, Susan. In some ways, he was soliciting. And to make his point, he probably went a little farther than he wanted to. Many have heard Saban talk about the recruiting wars this year. He's been upset from the beginning. And you can argue, is he upset because he got out-boosted, or he did not go down that road that Texas A&M did, which no one has said is illegal. That's the most important thing to remember. William in Maryville is up next. Hello, William.
What a day, Paul. What a day.
Indeed. Thank you.
You know, I'm going to have to say that Jimbo Fisher has to get the Jim and the Danny DeVito, the proof is in the briefcase award. Because, you know, I have a problem with calling somebody out, even if you're justified, and making all these veiled threats that you know you have the proof that they're despicable and they're breaking the rules, and you don't come forward with the proof. If you got the proof and you're going to go scorched earth and you're going to talk about somebody needing a slap down, or that you're a bad guy that looks forward to confrontation, then come forward with the proof. But don't make those kind of allegations with your briefcase full of proof that still stays shut. you know, I just think that's a low rent way to respond to what Saban did, right or wrong, as to what he did.
Well, yeah, I could, because yeah, he's insinuating something, and he's really not, and he's just he's around the edges, and I think that's
around the edges. And well, you know, it's no different what that kid did, the Republican kid did, about, you know, the congressman and all
Madison
the parties
Cawthorn.
And everything.
Yeah,
right. Don't make a bunch of allegations about somebody or about people that you're not willing to back up.
Here's what he was trying to do, William. He was playing to his base. He played to his base brilliantly, but you know, base politics works to a degree. But it does. You may win the battle, but it's difficult to win the war. And you know, he's going to deal with the consequences of this. And ultimately, he's probably going to lose to Alabama this year. Alabama is very likely going to win the national championship. And in the parlance of athletics or politics, winning trumps everything else. You know that.
Exactly. And also, he comes across looking like somebody that whines and says he has the proof but never shows it.
Right.
And you didn't hear Saban saying that kind of a personal attack against him.
Yeah, all Saban he went beyond. I don't think everyone wants to say Saban's so smart. I don't really believe Saban wanted to say what he did. He got off. This was not a prepared speech. He was rambling through this discourse, and I think he wanted to say there's a lot of cheating going on. There's a program that finished number one in recruiting, and that wouldn't have been so bad. But when he said they bought players, he crossed that invisible line.
Well, he probably did. But I think there would have been a better way for Jimbo to respond.
Jimbo could have issued a statement. He could have done anything he wanted to do. Instead, he just freewheeled it. And this freewheeling was better than the clown show on Lane Kiffin. But you know, he kept walking the audience up to, I better not say that. Well, you better not say what?
Well, you end up looking more foolish than the guy that made the original argument, Paul.
Well said, William. We're up against a break. We still have a few minutes remaining on this Thursday afternoon.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
Coming up, Trey Liskum, the Volunteers are on the prowl tonight. They'll be on the road, and you can catch the game in just a few minutes. Let's get back to the calls, and Ray is in Georgia. Hello, Ray. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thank you for everything you do.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. You know, before you tell the emperor that he has no clothes, if you live in a glass house, don't throw stones. Just think back in the day when the coach was at Florida State. Oh, my gosh. He did so many things wrong. It's pathetic.
You still there, Ray? For some reason, I think we lost. Yeah, Ray, I don't know what happened to the call, but anyway, we appreciate. So everyone seemingly chiming in. Gus Malzahn, say, just got on Twitter for the first time today. Did I miss anything? Welcome to Twitter, Coach. Obviously, we talked to Malzahn the other day, and he's entertained by his former brethren. Let's check in with Jerome, who is in Birmingham.
What's going on, Feinbaum?
Jerome, what about this?
How you doing today, man?
I'm doing great. What about you?
Man, I'm always doing good, man. I live my life joyfully. I'm happy. You hear me? I don't give a damn about nothing y'all say. Listen, man, y'all ought to send down Nick Saban a damn thank you card, man. I bet you woke up this morning, man, and told Miss Feinbaum, ooh, Jesus, babe, I got a topic today. You hear me? Little Nicky that opened up the book for us today. He did that slap across the nation, man. See, no other coach can do that in college football, man. Well, you can't get no other coach to do that. Hear me? And y'all got us wasting our time on damn Texas A&M between a Johnny football and an Alabama upset last year. They ain't did a damn thing in between, and we worry about Texas A&M. Man, please, have y'all lost y'all damn mind power with this damn fool? Huh?
I don't think so.
What are you doing today?
I don't think so. Have you?
Yeah, my mind always lost, well, Paul. But I'm good,
Jerome,
though.
What do you think of what Fisher said about your man?
Man, I don't give a damn about what Fisher said about my man. You hear me? My man shouldn't apologize. That's what I got to say. You hear me? He shouldn't have said nothing but told you on October the 8th, I'm going to put my foot in your ass. You hear me? That's what he should have told. You hear me? He shouldn't tell him sorry. I apologize. What are you going to apologize for? You hear me? He did nothing to apologize for. And then prime time, he's going to roll over in the middle of the night and tell me he can't wait to address it. What are you going to address, Paul? Huh? I can't figure that out. What in the world is Prime going to say?
I still think the one part of this that we haven't heard is when Coach Prime talks more than what he tweeted.
Hey, listen, we don't want to hear nothing about what Lil Prime got to say. Listen, my wife graduated from HBCU. So, listen, much respect. But I'm going to tell you, Elijah, right here, Lil Prime better get out the way before he get his damn nose bust. You know what I mean? This ain't got nothing to do with him. I mean nothing at all.
Jerome, it does, because Nick Saban brought him into the conversation yesterday. Rusty is in California. Hello, Rusty. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. First of all, Jim Bo was wrong because nobody said he's a cheater. Nobody accused him of cheating. He was just accused of buying players, which he did. We all know he did. I'm a Tennessee guy. Tennessee's buying players for next year because we got a really good collective going on. Miami's got a really good one. SC's got a really good one. A lot of schools got a really good one. And I think what we're seeing is the three teams who have won every national championship since 2014, Clemson, good old Dabo, Bama, good old Saban, and Kirby down in Georgia. Those guys are the ones that are most angry about the NIL stuff because they know that some schools have more money than they do and can even the playing ground, and they don't like it. Saban doesn't want to have equal footing. He says, I want parity. He doesn't want parity. He's never wanted parity. He's wanted to be the big dog and Clemson and them little four teams be the same teams in the playoff every year. That's what he wants. And he knows that Texas A&M and the University of Texas have more money than the rest of us and that they can outbid. And now that it's above board and we're not giving guys Dodge Challengers under the table, that they're going to get left behind. And that's why Dabo, Nick, and Kirby are whining.
Thank you very much. Donald is up next in Florida. Hello, Donald.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm down here with these catfish, Paul.
We're doing great.
And, hey, but listen, I'm gonna tell everybody, I'm an ACC man, but I do have something I want to say. Listen, I understand that what y'all talking about at Alabama, but unfortunately, Texas A&M got a little bit more money than y'all did this year. That's how they got them on the number one class. Now, keep in mind, I dealt with Jimbo. Jimbo done us totally dirty at Florida State. You know, I'm not going nowhere, not going nowhere. Then, bam, gone. Well, you know what? Good reason. That's why your wife cheated on you. Go on.
Coy is up next in Florida. Hello, Coy.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum. I have to side with Mr. Saban on this whole thing. He is the one just telling it like it is. I mean, it's going to be really out of control. And when Jimbo Fisher says that he is, we didn't do anything, well, we all know that they just bought a bunch of players on the boosters did. I mean, all he did was just tell it like it is, and if people can't handle it, it's because they feel defensive about it. They're doing something wrong for sure. They'll have to do something later on to make sure this doesn't get out of hand and it become the bidding war. That's pretty much all I'm going to say about it.
Coy, that's really where we are, and I think ultimately that was at the root of what Nick Saban said. Okay, I realize there's no way to recap all of this in a finite period of time, but Saban talked, Jimbo responded, Ross Bjork, the AD, backed Jimbo. The commissioner of the Southeastern Conference has reprimanded both people. And we're right back to where we were yesterday at this time. We really don't know what is going on. Anyway, we're out of time. I'm sure something else will happen between now and tomorrow. We hope you have a great evening. Baseball is next, and we will reconfigure this thing tomorrow afternoon. Thanks.